and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Lawyers in Wilmington, Delaware, today are making their opening statements in the federal gun case against President Biden's son, Hunter. He is charged with three felonies stemming from a 2018 firearms purchase. ABC's Terry Moran is at the courthouse with more.
Later today, prosecutors are expected to call an FBI agent as their first witness, who will present several of Hunter Biden's text messages and excerpts from his memoir, part of the prosecution's evidence that Biden knew he was an addict when he bought the gun.
One of the jurors was released today, said it was too far to drive. Four alternates have been seated. The president is expected to sign an executive order this week that could close the southern border once a certain number of migrants pass through points of entry. Sources say the action would suspend the asylum process when migrant crossings reach 2,500 a day. Crackdown on protesters in Tiananmen Square happening 35 years ago today. Heavy police presence out in Beijing and Hong Kong. People have been told not to demonstrate. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The family of a Milwaukee teenager who was killed in April is suing the man charged with her murder. Sharday Robinson's mother, Sheena Scarborough, is seeking damages for emotional distress. She also wants the money Maxwell Anderson made after he sold his house last month. Police have found several body parts believed to be Robinson's. Wisconsin Democrats meet for their state convention in Milwaukee this weekend. State Party Chair Ben Wickler says they have a chance to take back the state assembly majority.
We are currently 35 out of the 99 seats. If Democrats win 15 seats, they get a 50-seat majority in the state assembly, and we're fighting for at least that number.
Wickler speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has announced a three-year research project on the deer population in the Northeast region. According to a press release, lower deer harvest reports from hunters over the past year triggered the research project, which seeks to determine if deer densities differ between private and public lands. The data will help researchers better understand the deer population and could affect the way antlerless tags are distributed across the state. Trail cameras will be used to gather the data. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued an incidental take notice for a rare plant in Douglas County. According to a press release, the notice comes as a result of major construction work on the new Blatnick Bridge project. The rare plant is the seaside crowfoot, which has been confirmed to be present in the area of the project. Officials say they will try to minimize the impact of construction on the plant, and the project is not likely to jeopardize the continued existence of the plant in the area. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Homecoming for Reese Hoskins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' Reese Hoskins spent his first 7 years with the Phillies before signing with Milwaukee in free agency. It was Hoskins' first night back in Philadelphia. Fans gave him a standing ovation at the start of the game. Top of the seventh, he came to the plate on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Hoskins deep left, and a homecoming for the ages for Reese Hoskins. It's 3-1. They were cheering him earlier, and now some boos, but mostly standing and clapping for Hoskins.
Hoskins' home run turned out to be the only scoring for the Brewers as they lost 3-1 to the Phillies. Hoskins, on the welcome he received from the Phillies fans.
It's just what this fan base has done, just overwhelmed with emotion there.
NFL Vikings making Justin Jefferson not only the highest paid wide receiver, but the highest paid player other than a quarterback. 4 years, $110 million guaranteed. OTAs continue this week for the Packers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon into tonight. The overall severe weather risk is low, but there could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch to an inch or more in some spots. 82 today, 56 tonight, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 70.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. We got a friend joining us. He is Joe Sopecki, Democratic strategist, friend of ours. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. This hour is the statewide Sconey Summer Text to Win giveaway. One winner per hour will win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. One per day will win a pair of club-level Milwaukee Brewer tickets. And two grand prize winners will win a staycation at their choice of Fort Atkinson Lake Cottage, the Harbor Shores Resort in Lake Geneva, or the Door County Ridges Inn and Suites. Download the Civic Media app and text the word baseball to your home station. Text the word baseball using the Civic Media app for your chance to win. And, I asked if I could get, you know, Alan to hang on for one more segment. Alan J. Borzik is senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law School. He writes a weekly column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, on education. And so, Alan, I wanted you to hang on and respond to these two texts that I received. Ask why the state doesn't come in and take over or appoint a monitor to oversee MPS.
Well, I really am going to be curious what happens ahead here, if there's any serious discussion of changing the structure of things, getting the mayor of Milwaukee more involved or state role or who knows what. But I doubt anything's really going to change. Partly because the decision system is so polarized and so paralyzed in Madison and to some degree in Milwaukee. What would a state monitor accomplish? If it was someone who was super smart and effective and who everyone respected, the same would be true of if we named a superintendent who fit those qualities. There was a movie about education that got a lot of attention dozen years ago called Waiting for Superman.
Yes.
And the bottom line of that movie was there ain't no Superman. Well, there ain't no Superman or Superwoman who's going to step in and solve MPS's problems alone either. So I'm a little dubious what a state monitor would do that would be effective.
Do you think the whole MPS senior leadership team needs to be replaced?
Well, I assume the finance chief will go because this is so bad, not getting the state audit reports in that were due last September. And she has said, from what I've read, that they're super short-staffed and so on. So I assume there will be quite a bit of turnover and a new superintendent, assuming there is one, and my heart goes out to that person, whoever it may be, will bring in a new team. There's been so much turnover in the top ranks of the system in recent years, the human, the HR chief, the employment chief, financial side, education side. One of the top leaders in the system just left to become the superintendent in Brown Deer. So I think most of them are going to go. Would it help? If you brought in really terrific people, yes.
You know, Alan,
a good leader can accomplish a lot.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for listening. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call, as always. Thanks for having a good guest on. Yeah, you know, a comment real quick, and then I'll get into my topic with you regarding this. You know, I've always perceived schools as these terrific facilities that, you know, they have gymnasiums, they have libraries, they have computers, they have, you know, it's a learning environment, it's an up environment, you know, and I wonder why, out loud, I wonder why we don't use schools as more of a community center and use these assets, you know, more to our advantage instead of, you know, them being dark and basically unoccupied at night. And maybe I'm naive. Maybe there are some programs out there now that do support that, and I'd love to hear about those. But, you know, I think we have a great opportunity to use our public assets like schools and libraries for education to kind of bolster each other. And I just wonder why, you know, maybe schools aren't utilized more, you know, at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night, for example, instead of just having, you know, the regular school. But the second part of what, and more important, you know, we talk about, you know, getting our mind around the problems and figuring it out, Earl, as you said, and it's so true, but I don't think it's tough to figure out. You know, it's complicated. Sure, there's a lot of different things coming at it, but isn't it really trickle-down economics that is at the very root cause of most of you know, the public schools' demise? You know, when these kids are sometimes having to relocate several times due to being, you know, maybe not being able to pay rent.
Yeah, they're transient.
In their homes.
Many of them are transient. You're right.
So, you know, when you compound then, you know, the instability of economics, you compound, you know, the funding mechanisms that are in place to where that puts inner schools, inner city schools, at a disadvantage. You know, there are so many things that are part of it, but it seems to me a trickle-down economics in the pressure on the blue-collar or the middle class, unique pressures, economics, are at the very root cause. And I wanted to hear what your guest had to say regarding that comment.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Well thought out questions as always. Alan, you want to respond to Mike?
Well, I'll try. The using school buildings in the evenings, going back to that point, I think there's been more efforts on that score than he might realize.
Yeah, they're being used, they're utilized, yeah.
Lighted schoolhouses, after school programs, so on. The community school movement, which there are a number of schools in Milwaukee Public Schools that are labeled as community schools and try to do more to connect with the community. But I don't know how much impact they've really had. And certainly one issue is money. Who's going to staff the schools at night and how are you going to pay them? So it's been tried. It hasn't had as much impact as, you know, people ideally wanted. So that's my thoughts on that. What was the second point?
Well, he was mainly talking about the conditions that you know.
Trickle down economics. Yeah. I'm not an economist, and I don't want to make a good guess about theories like that. Except, you know, there was a book that was put out 2016, I believe, called Evicted.
Yes.
It was about the impact on kids, on communities, and especially kids, of evictions in low-income communities. And it was a book that was entirely focused on the city of Milwaukee. It won a Pulitzer Prize, got a, And the author, a guy named Matt Desmond, his mantra was, without shelter, everything falls apart. And that if we could stabilize housing for kids, that would have a big impact, housing for adults as well, that would have a big impact on stabilizing lives. And I thought there was a lot of wisdom in that.
You know, Alan, I have seen firsthand the impact of children who become homeless and who wind up coming to school after they become homeless. They have become homeless and moving in on other people and losing their independence of, you know, living in their own space. It's not an easy thing to do, and it has a major impact on so many children. The school system itself, Alan, is forced with trying to be a social service agency first before it educates. And so that's a part of the issue that we've got to fix. And this is for Vincent, that we've got to figure out a way to fix that, because the schools themselves provide clothing, food, shelter, safety for children throughout the entire day. And they do that before they even begin to deal with education. So it's part of the problem, Alan, and it's not going away because there's a new superintendent, right?
No. We expect too much of schools, especially in high needs communities. The kids need medical care. The kids need clothes. The kids need basic attention to their needs. And the schools are functioning as employment agencies. I remember William Andrikopoulos, when he was the superintendent, saying, how many things are we supposed to be? We're supposed to provide care. We're supposed to provide employment. We're supposed to provide community stability. Actually, educating kids sometimes falls down the list. And in an ideal world, schools would be about education, and the rest of the things would be taken care of by other agencies or by the families themselves, certainly would be first choice. I don't want to upset you, but we don't live in that ideal world. And things fall on schools because who else are they going to fall on?
You know, Alan, man,
that's where kids go every day.
Hey, Alan, thank you very much for taking so much precious time out of your day.
I'm glad to be here.
I can see that as we head down this road, I'm going to be calling you and helping us understand what's getting ready to take place. People are looking for a miracle. They're looking for a Hail Mary pass. It's not in the cards, is it?
No, but we ought to, we need to, and we can do better. I'm convinced of that. We may not move a needle from here to here, but we can move it some.
All right. That's Alan Borsak, senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette Law. Thank you very much, my friend, as always. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. Just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Hey, Calvin, stop the presses. Stop the presses. The Hunter Biden trial is off to a fast start with a jury picked in just one day. Haven't you been waiting with bated breath, Calvin, to see Hunter Biden get his just desserts?
Well, I mean, I certainly haven't been holding my breath for it. But, I mean, if he committed a crime, he should be held responsible for that. So, yeah, I guess that's my take on it.
Listen, man, he should be certainly, he should, you know, certainly get his comeuppance if he committed a crime. Let me do this. Let me go to Cassandra from Madison, Middleton. Hey, good morning, Chief Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I have been reading some of the articles about Milwaukee public school system because I teach at the college level, so eventually I do get some students from Milwaukee. But what I wasn't able to find out is why didn't Dr. Posley submit the required financial papers? I'm not seeing that. Or do you understand what his reasoning?
Well, the response from the CFO was that they didn't have, they couldn't field or fill the spots that they needed the people who would do all the work. So they were doing this shorthanded. They could not find people who wanted the positions, and so they became overwhelmed because in key crucial areas that would do all of, you know, the research necessary to get this stuff done, they didn't have people in those spots. That's the excuse that they gave. That can't be acceptable, can it?
No, it's not. I think there should have been more accountability from the district board. If for some reason if the district individually couldn't do it,
the board didn't know.
I think
they kept this information away from the board. As unbelievable as that is, it's true. The department, DPI, kept it away from the board, and so did the superintendent. The board didn't find out about this until late last week.
I see. Where is Governor Evers? This is his DPI. He should be calling for resignations of the people at DPI because there was a disservice to the people and the parents, students of Milwaukee. I'm not from Milwaukee, but this is just awful. I didn't catch that DPI withheld information.
So DPI, the superintendent and his people had been working with DPI for 7-8 months. Initially, it was, you know, monthly. Then it became weekly. Then it bi-weekly. Then it became weekly. Then it got to daily. That DPI was working alongside the superintendent and the CFO to try to get this worked out. They were aware all along. I have said that it almost appears as if Department of Public Instruction did not want the truth to come out because that $250 million referendum would have went down the tubes. It just barely passed. But clearly, if people knew that the district was in that kind of condition, they certainly would have not voted to give them an additional $250,000 more each year.
Okay. Well, Earl, thank you for filling in the gaps. This is a great disservice to the students and parents of Milwaukee. And quite honestly, the DPI, and I also believe Governor Evers, should be held accountable for this. It's his department, and the buck stops with him.
You know, you know, Cassandra, when they say the buck stops at the top, and they point to the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools, and they say the buck stops with you, you're saying the buck stops even higher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something could have been done. There could have been some kind of intervention by Tony Evers or DPI to make sure that this did not happen. I will get off the line. I'm sure there are so many people who are actually from Milwaukee who have questions, but I just have some knowledge gaps. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, unless you live in Milwaukee, you know, this is not a big deal. But I can tell you, in the city of Milwaukee, it is the biggest of the deals. And really, it should be a big deal on the state level because the way this thing is situated, if, in fact, you know, Milwaukee doesn't get its act together, it's holding up the financing for all the other districts across the state. It's a big deal. It clearly is. And wherever this merry-go-round stops, hopefully at the end of it, will be some major changes because students deserve it. Taxpayers deserve it. And so, you know, it's got to be prioritized and it can't be pushed off behind the fact that, you know, the Republican National Convention is coming. So we don't have time to worry about this. We got to make sure we're ready to deal with the Republican National Convention. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. You can now add emergency contacts to your Wisconsin driver's license. It's part of legislation from last year to make it easier to contact family and loved ones in case of an emergency. You can add the contact the next time you get your license renewed or add it online right now at the DOT's website. Wisconsin ranks 11th in the nation for overall well-being for older adults. That's according to the United Health Foundation's annual report, which is striving to be more comprehensive than past reports.
This report now looks at things like disability status, sexual orientation, and veteran status. So it really gives state policymakers and public health officials an ability to understand where the disparities exist.
Dr. Rhonda Randall is United Healthcare's chief medical officer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. One lane of the 40th Avenue West Bridge in Duluth has been reopened about 2 months after being hit by a truck that was hauling an excavator. According to the Minnesota Department of Transportation, only the southbound lane from the hillside towards the lake has been reopened after weeks of construction work. Residents will also be able to access the northbound ramp to I-35 and Oneonta Street, but drivers exiting from northbound I-35 will continue to be detoured. Repair work on the bridge began in mid-May. A new program aimed at addressing a teacher shortage will see student teachers at the University of Minnesota Duluth receive a $10,000 yearly stipend from the state. According to a Northern News Now report, the program seeks to help student teachers gain experience and advance in their career rather than letting them fall into debt. The school is just one of eight in the state that are participating in the pilot program, and proponents of the program say paid internships are long overdue in the teaching industry. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The one thing you cannot say about Willem Dafoe is that he is predictable when it comes to choosing his roles. The 68-year-old native Wisconsinite continues to explore offbeat parts by playing an afterlife detective in Tim Burton's Beetlejuice Beetlejuice. Dafoe plays a deceased actor who in real life portrayed a hard-nosed cop. So naturally, in the afterlife, he heads up a heavenly crimes unit as Wolf Jackson. Beetlejuice Beetlejuice hits theaters September 6th. Jerry Seinfeld cannot stay out of the news lately, but at least he admits he's not a real man. What? You heard it right. Seinfeld says he misses the days of the 60s when there was a hierarchy that started with manly men at the top like JFK, Muhammad Ali, and Sean Connery, who, by the way, openly admitted to slapping multiple women. Nice comp, Jer. Seinfeld says he is not a fan of toxic masculinity and admits he never made it to real man status because he became a comedian. Yeah, that's why. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon into tonight. The overall severe weather risk is low, but there could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch to an inch or more in some spots. 82 today, 56 tonight, tomorrow partly cloudy, breezy 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 71.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Look, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Day two of Biden's top 100. We'll be talking about how Joe Biden has stood shoulder to shoulder with organized labor more than any other president in modern American history.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Calvin, I think you got some breaking news.
Yeah, this is coming out of Dane County just less than a half hour ago. Attorney General Josh Call is filing charges against Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Michael Roman in relation to the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin. I know I've been waiting for that ever since hearing about the fake electors being prosecuted in Michigan and Georgia, so it's about time, I say.
Yeah, you know, it's better late than never. And, maybe it's in retaliation to Hunter Biden being, so federal gun case against Hunter Biden, what does this mean for the justice system? What does it mean for the justice system? So, you know, Hunter Biden is accused of, buying a gun illegally and using illegal drugs, Calvin. That's the basis of what Hunter Biden is being charged with. And this is what, for how long has it been going, has this been going on for the last 3 years or more? The Republicans have wanted to get Hunter Biden, and because Hunter Biden was public enemy number one. And now that they have him in the courthouse, here's what, again, he's being accused of. The president's son is guilty of is illegally buying a gun while using drugs. Calvin, that just doesn't equal what Donald Trump has been accused of.
Well, yeah, it certainly doesn't equal what Donald Trump is accused of, but also...
Or found guilty of, sorry.
Yeah, convicted of. But even then, like, if to carry it out and try this case, how do you prove that he was on drugs when he purchased the gun? It seems like a hard case to argue.
Well, and then to make it, the most important case in the world, it's not equivalent to Donald Trump and what Donald Trump did. It doesn't matter how hard Republicans want to try to make this thing equivalent. It's not. Let's go to Bill from O'Connell. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Say something I don't think the court's realizing are the Republicans. They got a tiger by the tail with Hunter. If you know Hunter, he doesn't lie down and roll over and play dead. I believe he's actually doing this, and he doesn't look too upset. And Kelvin just mentioned it. They don't have a case. A lot of people know that. It's going to explode in their face, and then the internet is going to say this, the shorts on YouTube and that stuff. How much money are taxpayers going to be charged by Jim Jordan and his pals' fake investigations? It's already in the billions. And they don't want to talk about how they can do all the scam investigations. This is nothing more than a retribution a trial. That's all it is. Donald Trump is super desperate now. Remember, he's a desperate criminal felon. Criminal felons, when they're desperate, what's the one thing they talk about? Is he going to escape the country? That could be on his list of things to do, because he knows at the sentencing he wasn't kind or showed remorse to Mershon. Well, his number's up now. So they are going to do this garbage. But Hunter Biden, trust me, I bet you in a week, Hunter Biden's going to be smiling. I'll leave you with that thought.
Well, hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Yeah, I just wanted to say, kind of piggyback on what the gentleman just said, and correct maybe something you said. He was charged for lying on an application. He wasn't charged for the use of drugs because he was never caught using drugs. He admitted to his drug use. So as a gentleman earlier said, I believe that, you know, this is going to amount to a whole lot of nothing. As unfortunately, I think the Trump sentencing will. I don't think he's going to do a day in jail. Unfortunately, if he gets home arrest, I think that'll be enough to, you know, trigger the Trumpers. But I wanted to go back to the education thing real quick, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that is that, you know, the public education system has been being drained slowly over the period of many years by the Republican Party and maybe even some on the left. Where money isn't going to these public schools as it should. And these kids are not getting a fair shot. And, you know, you look at what I'm going to go back to Trump. You look at who Trump assigned the educational system to. Some rich billionaire with yachts.
Yes.
Yeah. And she did nothing except try to push school vouchers in all the different states. And the people that were getting school vouchers in many cases were people that could afford to
absolutely
send to private school. So the poor kids in the public school, these kids that could shine if they were just given the opportunity to have the proper learning tools, to have good teachers, to not have teachers in certain states that are being threatened if they try to help a child out who might be confused about one thing or another, or if they say the wrong thing or present the wrong type of material in a classroom. You know, it's just been a long, long fight by the right and some on the left against our public school system. And it's really a shame because we really are dimming the bright lights that are out there that really could do great things.
Well, you know, Brendan, it's not just Milwaukee. It's New Jersey. It's L.A. It's all over the nation what is happening with, you know, public education in the urban centers and rural areas across this nation. And you are right. Brendan said, and I didn't get a chance to read it, but now that you bring it up, we need to stop and text this. We need to stop ignoring the pink elephant in the room. Republicans have been slowly attacking and taking the money from public schools, school vouchers going to do families that can afford it, basically said the exact same thing that you just said. It's 100% correct. And, you know, I'm going to be talking about voucher schools because voucher schools started in the city of Milwaukee. I know the people who created voucher schools, and I know their purpose for creating them. Most people don't know, but I know the two people who created vouchers, Annette Polly Williams and Larry Harwell. Annette Polly Williams was a state representative, and when she created that many decades ago, they have certainly stolen it and you know, did exactly what you said, wound up giving it to free educations for people who could afford to send their kids to private schools. Thank you, man. Thank you very much for paying attention to us, and thank you for calling. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
What I'm going to say is, and you may agree and you may not agree, this might be the best thing that has ever happened to the Milwaukee public school system, and that it shines the light on exactly what has been going on. And if we can straighten this out and get the kids back on track and get them back into school and get them a good education, this could resolve a lot of the problems that the city of Milwaukee is having. And I'm not going to point the finger on who should have said what, when, where. What we should do is just concentrate on the problem and move forward.
You know, Susan, what I will say to you is this is not a Milwaukee city of Milwaukee in Milwaukee Public School issue alone. It is in urban centers all over this nation. It didn't just start. It's going on for almost 30, 40 years now. And it, you know, and it's basically been ignored. And, you know, Milwaukee Public Schools, you're right that there's an opportunity now to attempt to try to rectify it, but it's bigger than, the issue is bigger than Milwaukee Public Schools. It's not the school itself. It's the society around the school. And that's the society around, you know, schools in rural areas as well as in urban areas. And so the schools themselves can't fix themselves. It takes a concerted effort by all of those entities of this government to focus on it and do a better job. Thank you very much for the call, Susan. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I would say that, first off, bravo to Josh Call, finally for getting off his butt and doing his job. Very, very happy about the fact that he is now going to hold people account, potentially, for what they did on January 6th. Also, as far as public schools go, you know, I really have an issue with the whole Act 10 thing, because I have brothers and sisters that are all teachers, and, you know, they're on Obamacare now because they never got their pensions after all of those years that they, you know, taught for 40 years. And that was one of the big reasons you went into public education, was because of the benefits that you would receive. Now, I will say this, I think the education system, unfortunately, has become a little bit like the corporations. You have, you know, some bad people that are running unions, which the teachers need to get those people out and get good people in. You have principals and superintendents and people like this that also have become like little kings. They become like corporations. If you have a teacher that speaks out, or if you have a teacher that does anything, oh my God, they're getting fired. Oh my God, they're, you know, something's happening against, when that's the whole idea of education, is to actually flush out ideas and talk about them and to be able to discuss what it is that's going on. And it should be all about the children. It should not be about, you know, the money. And I think, honestly, some of these superintendents and some of these people that are at the more top, they're thinking, you know what, I'm going to get mine. And unfortunately, that's what they've gotten from the corporate world. Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for the last 40 years of what you destroyed in this country. And thank you, Ronald Reagan, for not teaching people civics to know what the hell is going on in the schools.
Hey, Tom, well said, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Progressive presents 10 things on a contractor's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Bidding a new client, giving an accurate estimate, finding affordable materials, getting a client to pay you for work you already did, getting a client to pay you, period, securing permits and workers and tools, getting those workers and tools to work together, and finding the perfect pair of overalls. Pockets, baby. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right. Welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Remember to text in the word baseball using the Civic Media app for your chance to win some great prizes. There's just a few minutes left. Let's go back to the phone lines and Bill from Fond du Lac. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl. I just wanted to just respond to Tom, and I know you don't like doing that, but, I mean, he said that he had brothers and sisters who were teachers for more than 40 years who are on Obamacare because they don't have a pension, which is completely false. Okay, that didn't happen. And I don't know why you would perpetrate that lie on that. That just didn't happen. And you can ask any of the school district administrators or even the union leaders. It didn't happen. The other thing that he that came up, is all this money in politics. You know, this station or this media outlet is basically being financed by a guy from California. So I'm not sure why people complain about money in politics when it is the very reason that this.
Let me correct you. The guy from California that you're talking about. Is the owner of the radio stations. So, you know, when you make a statement like he's, you know, financing the stations from California, it's not true. He lives in the state of Wisconsin.
You don't have, the advertisers are not enough to support the station or all of them being on the air.
Well, sir, you are incorrect and you're entitled to your opinion, but that's exactly what it is. Your opinion is 100% incorrect. Let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. You know, I want to talk about the school and the money issue as is. And honestly, and it came to me, I was shopping over weekend in Milwaukee, and the taxes are just killer, absolute killer what they did to us. And I don't understand how that works, because when they build that stadium, they were saying that there is a surplus and that taxes, I would assume, should go back. Now the surplus gone, and I don't even know where it went to. And now we have a surplus in the government, but a budget in Milwaukee is so short that we have to tax again people who have nothing to do with the fact that they didn't make the right decision for a pensions and things. And why can't we use that surplus to cover it up? Why we have to put it on people again to make this money? And eventually, even though we do pay more taxes, it doesn't help our kids. It doesn't help our older or veterans or anybody else. Those money now going into a government, because as soon as they put those taxes up, they decided that they want 36% increase of their income. Well, thankfully, it just got 11 increase. But I'm sorry, Earl, but, you know, I and you, you and I and everybody who's listening were working at some point somewhere. I never had 11% increase in my life for anything.
So I'm not. Who got an 11% increase?
The Milwaukee government. The Milwaukee.
Oh! You're talking about the alder people and the mayor.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm not one who supported that. You know, they basically were in a position to, you know, write their own checks. I don't support it. I didn't agree with it. But there was nothing we could do about it. It's akin to people saying that, Karina, that elected officials need to vote time limits in. But they're not going to vote time limits in on themselves. Nobody else can force time limits on elected officials, but the people who are in office. And so that's part of the system that we have. I'm in agreement with you. The 11% increase that they received, I would say in many instances it was not deserving because many of them have just gotten into office, you know, recently. And you are right. It is another one of those things that is hurting the average taxpayer in the city of Milwaukee. The increase of the taxes for now Milwaukee Public Schools, the increase of the sales tax, and all those things impact and affect the average person in the city of Milwaukee. It's heartbreaking. So, you know, all these things that we talk about, all these different things are happening, and that's why I call these things politics, because they're happening while people are unaware of it for the most part. And people are so busy trying to deal with making ends meet, you know, that they somehow don't have time to understand what is happening, the magnitude of what is happening to them, and who's making those decisions that are impacting the least of us. Thank everybody who made the show go. I really want to give a special thanks to my neighbor and good friend, Alan Borsick, for spending that additional time with us. And more than anything else, thank you to the listening audience. As always, could not do any of this without you. Calvin, you know, man, you're great. You continue to get better and better. Up next, Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air. And I think that guy's name is Luke Mathers, who's sitting in for Greg Bott. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media's own Terry Barr will join us. At 11:06, Sean Connolly from the Birkebeiner talking about bicycles. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.